Idaho-based singer-songwriter Rosalie Sorrells is an icon of American folk music. Her songwriting and political activism tell a personal story in a time of social change. Last February, the University of California at Santa Cruz dedicated an archive to house Sorrells' papers and belongings. It includes a 600-page scrapbook filled with news clippings about war protests and civil rights marches, concert reviews, as well as letters from friends like Pete Seeger. In her trademark cowboy hat, Rosalie Sorrells seems an unlikely subject for a university archive. Jill Kaufman from member station WGBH has our report.
At 70, Rosalie Sorrells has spent the better part of her lifetime on the road performing.
I used to live in a big fine house with many rooms and a wide open door.
In the late 50s and early 60s, before she began singing for a living, Sorrells was a housewife with five kids living in Salt Lake City.
My life seems to be very organic. I did not choose a path. I followed a path, and a lot of people helped me.
Sorrells has been called an unlikely member of the Beat Generation. She loved the poetry of Lawrence Ferlinghetti and the music of protest singer Malvina Reynolds. She always loved music. Growing up in Boise, it was big band and opera. In Utah, she started learning about oral traditions. She says she learned some really interesting songs from her Mormon neighbors.
There's one about crossing the plains. I learned it from a woman whose mother and father came across with the handcart expeditions. I can sing you a little of it, unaccompanied, which is how I heard it. The Mormons were camped down by the green grove where the clear waters flow. From the mountains above.
Sorrells' interest in music led her to produce folk concerts. She brought singer Gene Ritchie and others to Utah to perform. Many of the musicians stayed at her home and became members of her extended family.
We listened to the howling of those lonesome roving wolves.
In 1966, Gene Ritchie invited Sorrells to perform at the Newport Folk Festival in Rhode Island. The event marked the beginning of her singing career. Her life had changed, and when she returned to Salt Lake City and a troubled marriage, she took her five kids and left. This moment of her life has taken on a life of its own. It's made Sorrells a legend in the eyes of some younger singers, like Nancy Griffith.
She drove west from Salt Lake City to the California coastline. She hit the San Diego freeway doing 60 miles an hour. She had a husband on her bumper. She had a five restless children. She was singing as sweet as a mockingbird in that 40 gun line.
Sorrells says building a career and raising five kids on the road was more complicated than the song implies.
Anybody who would believe that would be mad if they ever try to take five children around the block.
When I see her from time to time, she'd have reports of her family life.
Singer Loudon Wainwright III.
When you said the kind of generic, how are you? You were braced for this kind of litany of trials and tribulations and everything. And, you know, so she'd say, this one's in jail and that one burned down the building and she had an operation. But I wrote two songs last week.
Not long after leaving Utah, Sorrells went to New York City and found her way to the Lion's Head Pub, once a popular gathering place for writers and musicians in Greenwich Village.
I thought the Clancy brothers owned it because they were in there all the time. In the restaurant, there was a great round table in the back, and we would all sit around that table and sing all night sometimes. I've been in there till 9 o'clock in the morning.
When she wasn't in New York City, she was performing at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. Arlo Guthrie and Bob Dylan sang there in the early days of their careers. To Sorrells, these places weren't just bars. They provided shelter, friendship, and powerful musical influences. Among her most important musical influences was songwriter Malvina Reynolds. In 1968, Sorrells went to San Francisco to meet her.
I did. I went and knocked on her door and said, I want to know you. And she invited me in and tried to feed me everything in the house, and she took me under her wing and tried very hard to teach me how to be more self-controlled and how to use my music for something useful. She changed my life. She still changes my life.
Until the time of Malvina Reynolds' death in 1978, the two women often performed together, singing about workers' rights, women's rights, and particularly abortion rights. Sorrells often performed songs written by Reynolds.
Rosie Jane, are you pregnant again? Rosie Jane, you can hardly take care of the form you had before.
Sorrells has always wanted her own songs to tell a good story. Singer-songwriter Christine Lavin has seen Sorrells perform and says they do.
It's usually a big, dark room, and there's this woman on stage with this beautiful, rich, velvety voice who's telling you the story or singing you a song, and then she stops, and she tells a little story, and then the song continues, and she stops. It's like you're sitting around a campfire, and there's this great, wise shaman. And it completely transports you out of yourself.
If I do what I'm doing correctly, I make them think I'm telling their story. One time a critic said I brought back memories he never even had, and I thought that was really one of the nicest things anybody ever said about me.
I left a piece or two of me down in the great Southwest, somewhere down along the borderline. I went down to see if I could see the one I loved the best. I lost my heart and almost lost my mind.
The singing is incredibly important to me. And even when I'm all alone, it's the path to joy. It's a way to take sorrow and turn it into a thing you can hold in your hand and throw away. I think I attribute my long life to singing and garlic, maybe.
After 50 years on the road, Sorrells has settled in Grimes Creek, Idaho, in a cabin built by her father. She's as much at home here as in New York City. She says you can find a good story anywhere.
Life is a story. Life is a story. And when it stops happening, then it's a different story, you know.
And Rosalie Sorrells will likely want to tell it to you. For NPR News, I'm Jill Kaufman.
What's real love? Have I come by on my last go round? Soft caresses, tender sighs.